All right, quickly, let's begin today. We'll read from the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. What we are talking about is what we have titled The Fruitful Life. And what I want to explain is how Christians get results. And in the last few episodes, what I have been doing is establishing some basic background matter concerning this issue of the fruitfulness of life in the life of a believer. Now, so what we are going to do today, like I said, is continue from the book of 2 Peter. Let me just review for a few minutes. I'll make sure it's no more than 5 minutes, what we have said so far, especially what we said last time. And what we said is that, what I tried to emphasize last time is the fact that if you labor, all right? Okay, let me just say this one first. There's what is called laboring under a curse. Let me explain that. And that's what the Bible calls to be fleshly minded. What that means is that there is an attitude towards life in which you judge things based on what your eyes see. You judge things based on the natural, all right, occurrences, on the natural laws, the operations thereof. We said those things are what the Bible calls to be carnally or fleshly minded. And if you are like that, the Bible says that you are subject to the operations of spiritual death. The reason is because God cursed Adam from the beginning. And he did not curse Adam, just Adam directly, but he said that because of Adam, what happened? That the earth was cursed. So anybody operating earthly principles is subject to the curse that God placed upon Adam. Do you understand that principle? If we operate by those natural laws, all right, you are subject to the operation of spiritual death. And let me say this, it works normally. That's what I want to explain. I said that before, I want to say it again. It works how? Normally, that is on a day-to-day basis, you will not realize the operation of spiritual death in the natural laws until God's breath blows upon it. And we've established a number of principles that there are natural laws, there's what we call common laws. I don't want to go over them again. And that there is the law of the spirit of life, which operates from a level beyond that, which is what? Common. So that you can find that normally the natural law dictates that a man should not walk on water. But when it is necessary, Jesus will walk on water. And I explain something, and I emphasize that. In fact, that's the main thing I'm going to bring out from all of this. That the life of the Christian is different. Are you getting my point? You're not a normal person. And I don't like the idea, all right, that we will gather and make Aliko Dangote, all right, a subject of analysis because we think he's materially successful. I don't think it is right for Christians to gather and take a worldly success and take the life of Bill Gates and digest it for learning how to succeed in life. I think it's an error that has crept into Christianity. Are you getting my point? God did not call us to come and emulate somebody who does not profess the faith of Christ because our life is a life of grace. And the Bible says it has to be by faith that it might be in accordance with grace. All I want to see, what I want to learn from somebody's life is how the grace of God manifested in his life. And if the foundation of his life, of his success, is not faith in through the Lord Jesus Christ, then I have no business trying to follow him. I said something last time, be careful how you follow people. That there are many reasons God raises people. Pharaoh did everything wrong, but he made it to be head of state. Let me say that again. The Pharaoh that persecuted the children of Israel, he did everything wrong, but he made it to be head of state. Do you know why? God said, for this cause I raised you up, that I might show my power in you. Fella did everything wrong, morally speaking, did everything wrong, and made it to be very famous. And when Naira was like exchanging for 75 kobo to the dollar, he could count a few millions of Naira in those days. Are you getting my point? But God said, for this cause, I raised you up to demonstrate something in your life. I made a mention of a man who's very famous worldwide. I read his his biography. I analyzed it and I said, this man, God is raising you up for a reason I don't understand. Fools will follow you and they will be destroyed because God is not trying to raise them up the way he raised you up. I don't know what he's raising you up for. So be careful when you are following somebody who is an unbeliever. I don't give a damn about the amount of money he has. I don't care the amount of challenges he has overcome. Listen, my friend, I am a believer. The Bible says something clearly. There are only two people in the scriptures that the Bible says I should look up to. He said, number one, look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, your mother. All right? He said, when he was warned, I called him. Are you getting my point? And then I multiplied him. I blessed him. After that, he said, looking unto Jesus. That's the final word. The author and finisher of faith. Your life is a life of faith. My life is to be the life of faith, not to demonstrate material success for anybody to see. God, I have said it again and again, is not in competition concerning who can make people rich. Bow to the devil, he will make you the richest man in the world, and God doesn't care. You know why? He's not competing. Jesus would have made it to be the richest man in the world if he had bowed to the devil. Please, are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus would have made it to be the richest man in the world if he had bowed to the devil. Let me say it one more time. Jesus would have made it to be the richest man in the world if he had bowed to the devil. So that doesn't mean anything. Are you following my point? There are many principles of life. All right? But what marks out the life of the believer is that he operates what the Bible calls the law of the spirit of life. And he said that is only found where? In Christ Jesus. That's what I've been discussing. And I've stopped. All right? I ended that one last time. I want to continue from how to operate that law of the spirit of life beginning from today. I've said it here and there, but let's settle on it. I said, number one, what we operate is what? Promise. Your life is founded upon the promise of God. Isaac was God's example of what your life is supposed to be. Isaac was brought to this earth. Go and study Romans chapter 4. All right? Because of the faith of Abraham. Isaac was what the Bible called the son of promise. Ishmael was a son born after the natural order. Please, I want you to understand this thing. Ishmael was what? The son born after what? The natural order. When Abraham followed the natural order, he had Ishmael. I hope you're following my point. But God doesn't want you to give birth to Ishmael. Ishmael became a problem to the son of promise for years after. Are you getting my point? In fact, you see that the things recorded in the scriptures, they were recorded that we will learn certain principles. That when you give birth to results on natural premises, they become a problem for your peace of mind. Are you getting my point? I said something to us several times before. The way you get a result is the way you will sustain it. If you sweat and struggle to get a result, peace will elude you all your life. You will always have problems all your life. That's what Hagar, Ishmael does. When you unite with Hagar, after a natural order, you beget something that is natural. Unfortunately, men who don't have understanding, all right, will go ahead and start showing you how uniting with Hagar produces results. And we write books on the birth of Ishmael, not realizing that that's not what God wants us to have as Christians. How does the life of the believer work? Quickly, the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, let's read that. It said from verse 2. Let me start from verse 1. Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have faith, who have received a faith of the same kind as ours. Why I wanted to read verse 1 is the next line. By the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. There is a kind of righteousness that is found only in Christ Jesus. We'll discuss that as we go on. Now in verse 2 it says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Please notice verse 4. For by these, what are these? It said, his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Now by these things he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. Through his divine power he has given us something. What God uses power to bring forth in our lives is something, a promise. He said, in order that by these promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Please, let me explain this verse 4 before I continue. Now, what does he mean when he talks about being a partaker of something? What he meant was that people can demonstrate the life of God working in them. That's what he was saying. For example, Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, we know you must be what? Someone that came from God. Because nobody can do these miracles except God is with him. And Jesus answered him, the same thing that Peter is talking about here. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. two things. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I want you to notice those two things. First, you must see before you what? Enter. In fact, seeing, as far as God is concerned, means that you have entered, because a door has been made open for you to enter. Now, what was Nicodemus saying? That we see your life and you're a partaker of divine nature. That's what I'm trying to bring out here. That is, the things occurring in your life shows that there is something. Listen, let me tell you the meaning of the word divine nature. What is his name now? Joseph. Joseph showed up before Pharaoh. When Joseph was through, Pharaoh looked and said, can we find a man like this one, seeing that he is a partaker of a nature of the gods? Let me give you his own words. Seeing that in him dwells what? The spirit of the gods. Please, I want you to notice that. The man demonstrated wisdom. And Pharaoh said, in this man dwells what? The spirit of the gods. That's what Peter was calling partaking of the divine nature. He wasn't saying, like a lot of us, and as soon as I was growing up in the faith, That, you see, as you are seeing me so, I'm a child of God. The Spirit of God is inside me. It's not a lie. Are you getting my point? But that's not what Peter was saying. Peter was saying that you will appear before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh will discover something bigger than what he ever knew. Are you following what I'm saying? He was saying, like Daniel, there will be a problem, and the king's mother will say, there is a man in your kingdom, an insight and understanding like the type you find in the gods is to be found in this Daniel. That's being a partaker of divine nature. What am I saying? When the world is confounded by problems, that is when they require the manifestation of the sons of God. And Peter is explaining to us here, the only way you will be a partaker, you know, partaker now doesn't mean to eat. Partaker means to what? Share in the demonstration of something. So the only way you will be able to do it is by using what? His divine promises. His promises. Let's read that again. Verse 4. He said, he has granted us his precious and magnificent promises in order that by them we might overcome the challenges of life. In order that by them we will build great enterprises. In order that by them we will do things that will confound the world. In order that by them we will look at all the so-called rich men of the earth and we will watch calamity befall them. And only us will have the wisdom to pull them out. Let me say it to you again. What Satan tries to do to the people of God is to distract them. He tries to prove to them, all right, that Bill Gates is the richest man in the world, so follow Bill Gates. He tries to prove to them, now, are you following what I'm saying? That look, in Nigeria, Aliko Dangote, this Glo, what's the name of Glo? Mike Adenuga, and these people, they are the richest men in the world, so follow their principles. And I've heard Christians say that Christians like to talk, you know, preachers, that Christians like to talk, they don't have results. Listen to me, I say prophets don't use results. Prophets use the knowledge of the things that are recorded in heaven. They don't make their boast based on results. What did God call you and I? He said, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. God said, let not a wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. Let not the one who has built great enterprises try to confound my children by boasting in that which he has accomplished and telling them that they don't have a mouth to talk because they don't have this kind of results. He said, that's nonsense. So let the one who wants to boast, boast in one thing, that he knows me. We guys really carried away by worldly principles. It's results that talk. Aren't crap, nonsense. That's not Christianity. What talks in Christianity is prophecies. If you know the mind of God. Because if it was results, listen, Enoch couldn't prophesy. If it was results, are you getting what I'm saying? Noah was a fool. For 100 years, Noah was an idiot. He believed in God, kept away from their iniquities. He did not have results. But listen to me, the day the breath of God blew, all of them perished but Noah. I read a lot. These so-called worldly principles of success, even though I have read them. All the men, you've heard me quote. I read the story of Pogetti. I read Donald Trump. I read the story about, look, many of the world's richest men, I read their stories too. But listen to me, I won't get carried away. Nobody should tell me I can't talk because I don't have results. I used to tell my wife that the things I'm telling you, I read them somewhere. My father didn't tell me. The things I'm telling you, I read them in the scriptures. My mother didn't tell me. I can't point to couples that are older than me who are practicing them. But by the Spirit of God, I read them from the Word of God. This year will be my 10th year anniversary of marriage. Every year, my wife keeps getting more convinced that my husband was right, they were wrong. Before I married, I had never married before. I had no results to show. I hope you are following what I'm saying. I didn't have the results to show that. But I had the prophecies of God. I had the Word of God. You see, simple things I read. I said, He that made them created a male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. And the two of them shall become one flesh. And whatever God has joined together, let no man put asunder. That was where I discovered that a man and his wife are supposed to hold everything as one person. I didn't say in common. I said as one person. People said all kinds of things. I remember a friend of mine was just discussing. I said, if your wife doesn't like your mother being in your house, I said, your mother will have to go because she has to stay. He said, do you know I'm an only child? I said, that's your problem. Maybe you should just marry your mother to solve all your problems. No, you see, it wasn't based on results. It was based on what? The knowledge of prophecies. The knowledge of promises. And I said something before. Don't think that we are saying that, if you analyze life well, you will discover that this thing we are saying, they are correct. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying that if I obey the Word of God, life will conform to the prophecies of God. This is divine order. Alright? First, there is a word, and then there is a manifestation. Are you getting my point? First, there is what? A word, and then there is a manifestation. Number one is a word. That is, God records something in heaven. It's first we hear that word, we believe it. That's when our lives begin to conform. Many people are going to look at my life. As a matter of fact, this was settled before I started preaching to you, so I'm not trying to impress you. Is that okay? Many people will look at my life and say, this guy was very smart. He knew what he was doing. We are the ones that did not know. They will think if they had to live life again, they will follow my order. That is true. All right? They should. But what they don't understand is that they don't have my faith. All right? My order is foolish every time. I don't know what I hear what I'm saying. The decisions I've made in life, if you don't have my faith, they are foolish. Now, the fact that my life will not demonstrate I was right is not proof that the natural order made sense. What am I trying to explain? That the events only conformed with my faith. So if you follow that order, without having my faith, you will drown. I don't know whether you get my point. Listen, when the sea parted for the Israelites, the Egyptians tried to follow, and they discovered that it is not natural for people to walk through the sea. Let us assume there was an argument. How should they have gone? The Egyptians said, oh boy, let us take boat. And somebody said, no. The children of Israel, they went through the water. What they don't know, assuming the things didn't go the way it went with the Egyptians, is that if you followed the children of Israel, you will have drowned. What am I trying to explain? What we are living by, he said, the just shall acquire life by his faith. The just shall live. That word live. It's not as the just walks by faith. The just should walk by faith. But what it was saying, that when the man has walked by faith, the events of life will cooperate to bring a manifestation to his faith. The just lives, acquires life because of his faith. I hope you're getting my point. So you see, Christians, it's not about what results do you have. The argument should be on, is he written or is not written? Let the word argue about with results. This is how we did it and we got this result. All those things are okay until the breath of God blows. Please, are you understanding my point? The Bible says do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your life is supposed to be lived differently. Are you getting my point? This is how you get your results. Please, let's continue reading. So we're talking about that partaking of divine nature. He said, this is how we escape the corruption that is in the world. We've already explained that, because the world is under a curse. He said, now, for this very reason. Now, please, I want us to analyze this scripture very well. He said, now, for this very reason. What reason? Now that we know that God, by the workings of his power, in that Jesus went to the cross, died for us, and rose up again from the dead, through that he gave us promises. Because of the knowledge of those promises, we will become partakers of the divine nature, which I've already explained. Peter now said, because of these things, let us apply all diligence. In your faith, he said, apply all diligence. In your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, supply what? Knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And your self-control, perseverance. And your perseverance, godliness. And your godliness, brotherly kindness. And your brotherly kindness, love. He said, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, however, verse 9 says, anyone who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and his choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance, please notice this word. For in this way, by practicing these things, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Let me stop here and explain some things. We have established something. The Christian walks by promises. Are you getting my point? Let me explain that properly before I now delve into explaining the rest of these things. What I want to get down to is the issue of, look at verse 11. It said there is an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that will be abundantly supplied to you. Don't forget what Jesus said. Except the man be born again, he cannot what? Enter. What is the entrance? The ability to see. Because it's when the man has seen that he will be able to enter. Let me say this to you again. When God called Isaiah, what did he tell him to do? He said, go and blind these people. Deaden their hearts. Dull their ears. Blind them. You know why? I don't want them to hear and understand. I don't want them to see and perceive. He said, because if they do, they will go back, they will repent, and I will be forced to heal them. However, a destruction is determined, overflowing with righteousness. Therefore, I will not let that happen. That is, even though I determine to punish a man, if he will have understanding and do the right things, I will be compelled to stay my hand of punishment. Are you getting the point? So when God wants to bless a man, what does he do for him? He opens his eyes to see. When Hagar cried for her son after Abraham had let them go, what happened? God opened her eyes and she saw a well. And I preached a sermon on that some time ago. It's in our collection. Please go and listen to it. Open my eyes, O Lord. Are you getting my point? Listen, what brings forth the manifestation of God's promises into your life? Do you understand? Is when you have done the will of God. Now, get my point. This is the will of God. That which God has opened your eyes to see and to do concerning your situation in life. Listen to me, until God opens your eyes, you can't discover his will, you can't do the right thing, therefore you continue in destruction. Say, my people are destroyed because they don't understand. My people are destroyed because they can't see the correct things. They have issues in their lives. They have issues in their marriages. They have issues in their businesses. They have issues in their academics. They have issues in their walk with God in life. They are experiencing destruction. He said, because there is something they have not yet seen. If they see it, they will do it, and that becomes their entrance into the release of the manifestation of God in their lives. Listen, be afraid of copying people. Because some doors lead to places you don't want to go to. Are you getting my point? Listen, let me say this to you, oh God. I have many things to say. Be careful about life. Life. Be very careful. Be very careful. Many of the things you worry God for, ask Him and pester Him, are the very things that will kill you. And when you don't let Him rest, He will give them to you. But that doesn't mean it won't kill you. He said, they tempted God in the wilderness. They cried for meat. God gave them meat and sent leanness into their souls. That's why I'm done with all those kind of issues of what really do you want? Write them down, put them on the wall, and keep looking at them. And keep asking God and keep confessing. If you harass Him enough, even though He doesn't want to give you. I told you something earlier. Natural common laws, they work. That's some very careful testimonies. You can tell me anything you like. There are people who have abandoned their ministries and join somebody else, and they come and testify. I say, dear Lord, dear brethren, God has been good. I was struggling on my own. Then I connected with this unction. Look at it now. I say, look at it. You just left your destiny. The guy just abandoned his destiny. And he's giving testimonies that for 12 years I was struggling. Nothing was coming forth. And then I came, and then I contacted this unction. Now all I do is what this man says. And listen to me, the guy just abandoned the call of God for his life to go and choose what is easier. And he's testifying. That is in life, be very careful. It's very easy to be singing songs and giving testimonies. You see how people are following TB Joshua all over the place. And I'm looking. And somebody says, he's doing miracle. He's giving to the poor. I say, you fool. You think Satan is so stupid that when he wants to distract you from the will of God, he'll come and be scaring you. He will entice you. Hey, let me not sit on things that don't edify. What I'm going to explain is this. It's not every open door. You understand? That's your door. Please, are you following the point I'm making? I'm bringing that an issue here. There is an entrance that God has created for you. How to find that entrance is what we're discussing. Let me start like this before I analyze that thing. This is how I told you your life is what? It's based on promise. The reason why the reason, listen to this, why you will prosper in life is not because you gave. The reason is because there is a promise of prosperity over your life. The reason why you will live long is not because you learned how to eat aloe vera and vitamin E. It is because there is a promise of long life over your head. Are you getting my point? The reason why, as a pastor, you will build the largest church in Nigeria is not because you went to South Korea and learned the principles of church growth from Yonggi Cho. It is because before you were born, a promise was released on your head. And part of the word that described your life said, this young man, this young woman shall be the head pastor of a congregation of 1 million Nigerians. Let me tell you something. One of the greatest things God did for me was to help me read Kenneth Hagin before I began ministry. And I found out that many preachers won't live long. They will be succeeding, and you will be clapping for them, and you will be rejoicing over their victories. And God will say, this guy, If he makes it past 55, I'm not God. Because he gets up and he makes idols. Please, you will see what I'm going to talk about Christians getting results. He makes idols of men. He makes idols of the successes of other people. And God said, dear son of mine, go down to this particular area and do the work of the evangelist. After 5 years, you will leave there and you will go to this other area and you will do the work of the evangelist. After that, you will go to this area and you will do the work of the apostle. Then I will anoint you with a special kind of unction, but your name will never appear in the pages of the newspaper all the days of your life. Nobody will discuss you. There is nothing I want to manifest in your life that I've not written in the scriptures. So I don't need it. No reporter will visit you. Are you getting my point? But listen to me. Even though men won't sing your song, but a day will come in which everyone must appear before my judgment throne. And I will judge them according to the works that they did while they were in the flesh. And then I will say, this man who I sent to that small area, in one corner of Somalia, or of Kenya, or of Nigeria, what did he do? And that's when men will know you were following me. But not having been schooled in the things of God, he buys Charisma magazine. And they show one very handsome looking black American pastor who flies around 5 continents in a 737. And he's only 32. And he meets with kings and they write stories. And is a modern day Daniel and modern day Joseph put into one. And the guy looks closely. He's 32, I'm 34. He's a child of God, I'm a child of God. The same God in America is the same God here. And he finishes the night, then he because lost. Listen, anything you focus on, you will find ways to accomplish. That's why I said be careful. When he focuses on that man's life, not realizing that a man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above, you know what he starts doing? He starts learning the principles of church growth. And amongst the things he learns unconsciously is that no matter how much your church grows, if the town is only 25,000 people, they can never grow beyond 25,000. He just tells himself. So they say, okay, relocate from there and go to the capital city. If he's a Nigerian, he goes to Abuja, or goes to Lagos, or goes to Port Harcourt. In 5 years, he has a suit as fine as the guy he saw in Charisma magazine. Are you getting my point? In 10 years, he has bought, even not a private jet, a fleet of cars. If he harasses his congregation long enough, and he's located where there are many rich people, all right, he might actually buy a jet also. And then he starts telling his confused story. When I did not have sense, I was never clicking. And then I looked to men who were bigger than me, who were not going in your direction in life, who had a different calling from the one that you have. I told somebody, I said, God gave me a vision. And go and read Songs of Solomon. He said, my brothers made me keep their vineyard. My own vineyard I have not kept. I'm not keeping anybody else's vineyard without keeping my own. Because on the judgment day, when you stand before the judgment seat of God, they won't judge me according to how much I looked like you. But God looked and said, this man departed. Now, please, I'm bringing out something. That there is a word that describes your life. And that's why you must not be conformed with this to this world and the worldly church. You know what I mean by worldly church now? That is, the church learns the things of the world and you think you are being conformed to the church. That's why after them in Hebrews chapter 11, everything was said. He jumped to chapter 12 and said, now we have explained everything. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith. When we're talking about the hundredfold blessing, I'll explain what that means. Because every one of those people, you sit down, you see one point in their life in which they did not reach for the fullness of God's blessing. Except the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope what I'm saying is clear. I hope you are following the principle. Now, what am I explaining here? That you have This is how your life is. There was a word recorded. You know, concerning Joseph, it was said until the time that his word came, everybody has a word. One of the greatest things you do for yourself in life is to stop envying somebody else. You can learn a few things from some people. I'm not saying you can't learn from people. But just know their life is their life. I've sat with people before, and they start discussing ministry. Let me tell you something. The ministers you know about are the ones that are talked about, not the ones that are successful. Shall I say that again? The people you know about are the ones that are talked about. I don't know how you get what I'm saying. The reason you know about them is because they are talked about. That's why the greatest people on earth all come from America. Why? Because they control the media. That's all. It is not because they are really the greatest people on earth, but because they have the greatest networks, so they can talk about their people. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that they were talking about some people that were well spoken of. There are things. Listen, I told my wife once. I'm telling you this is how you will learn. One day I traveled. It was, I think somebody was wedding in my in-law's place. So when I arrived, another person came to the house for the same wedding. He just bought a very nice car. Very, very nice one. Beautiful ride. So my father ended up being the elder, you know what I mean? So he came and presented the car that my father should come and bless the car. You understand what I mean? Bought a bottle of wine. So as I was passing, my father just called me and said, "Banky." I said, "Yes, daddy." He said, "Come, you are the pastor. Come, let us go and pray for this car." And they opened the bonnet of the car. Hi-yabba. Everything was shining. No drop of oil anywhere. Reflexly, I took a look at my car parked down the road. What's a reflex? I just traveled down. The car was dirty. The bumper was half bent to one side. If you open my bonnet, you will see oil and you see dust mixed together. Doing the will of who, I don't know. I mean, just there. I told my wife, I said, "Baby girl, I felt like a poor guy." On the spot, I felt like a poor. That is, instantly, I felt like I was suffering. Now, I can talk about that because it doesn't move me. Listen, as God is my witness, it doesn't move this nigga. It does not move me at all. It doesn't move me. I'm not going to change what I'm doing because you bought a new car. I won't change what I'm doing because you carry your wife, your children, and took it all over the world. I won't. You can't prove to me I don't know what I'm doing because you are making money. It's your personal problem. Like I said, everybody has a problem in life. Everybody has his problem. You bought a new car, is your problem. You built a big house, is your problem. Remember my gist about my mother and I? "Hey, Banky." "Yes, mommy." "You know, your mates are building houses too." I said, "How many of them are teaching the way of success?" That was my answer. How many of them wrote, "Great faith can be yours"? How many of them wrote, "He that believes"? How many of them wrote, "By faith acquire life"? How many of them wrote, "Choice is key to destiny"? You can build all the houses you like. It's your problem. This guy is teaching secrets and truths of the kingdom of God. You know why? Because each person's life has a word. Listen, my mother couldn't conceive and deliver me until God had given a word about my life. It therefore would be foolishness. I told the day I was talking to my mom, he said, how about your practice? I said, I shut it down. He said, why? I said, kingdom world ministries take too much of my time. He said, but it doesn't give you money. I said, so what? What shall we do then? Shall we, because it's not paying, abandon the reason why we were born? Shall we, because it's not paying, abandon the reason why God sustains our breath? God looked at Kenegan and said, if I did not stop you, this one that you stopped. Now, this man was preaching. He was preaching. But because he refused to prophesy as a prophet, God said, you will have died at the age of 55. It's called the unprofitable servant principle. If you are not doing what you were called to do, God does not have any reason to sustain your life again. I hope you are following me. What am I trying to explain? A word was released. And that word, having gone forth, is trying to propel your life in a particular direction. The reason you will succeed is because of the word that went forth, not because we learned some junky principles. The primary reason you will succeed is because God spoke something into existence.